Lot 1. The auctioneer had a voice built for open country. Samuel Holt heard him from half a block away before he could see the crowd or the staked lots or the railroad officials standing in the shade of a canvas awning. The voice carried across the flat desert ground, the way sound carries when there is nothing to stop it, which was still mostly true about this place, despite what had appeared here in the past 3 months. It was May 9, 1868. The town of Reno was 11 weeks old. Samuel had come up from San Francisco on the railroad's advance passenger service, a rough accommodation in a rough car that smelled of machine oil and the ambitions of strangers. He had a letter of introduction to a man named Fuller, who was said to have advanced knowledge of which lots would go commercial and which would go to seed. Fuller had not appeared at the hotel, had not left a message, and would not, Samuel eventually understood, appear at all. He was on his own, which was not unusual. He had been on his own for most of his working life. The lots were laid out in a grid that still smelled of fresh paint on the stakes. Virginia Street ran north to south, a wide dirt corridor the railroad intended to be the main artery. The Truckee River ran roughly east to west, 100 yards north of the main commercial section. The Sierra Nevada rose to the west, still carrying snow in May, sharp and white against the blue desert sky. Samuel walked the grid twice before the auction started. He noted which lots had access to the river, which sat on the corner of what would become the main intersection, which lay in the direction most likely to be developed first. He was a land speculator, which meant he was a student of probability. You did not need certainty. Certainty was for men who already had money. You needed to be right slightly more often than you were wrong. The auctioneer started at the north end and worked south. The prices were brisk. Men from Sacramento bid against men from San Francisco, bid against men Samuel did not recognize and assumed were locals, though there were not many locals yet. A broad-shouldered German with a blonde beard and a quiet manner stood to Samuel's left, bidding steadily on corner lots along Commercial Row. He did not seem nervous. He had the look of a man who had made up his mind before he arrived. Lot 7 came up, corner of Virginia and Commercial Row, and Samuel raised his card. The German raised his. Samuel raised his. The German raised his and looked at Samuel for the first time, and Samuel understood that the man would go as high as necessary. There was a particular quality of stillness in him that Samuel associated with men who were not speculating, men who intended to build something specific and had decided on the location and would not be moved from it. Samuel lowered his card. A concession, not a defeat. He had learned the difference. He bought Lot 12 instead, one block south, a commercial parcel on Virginia Street that had good dimensions and no obvious disadvantages. He paid $270, which was more than he wanted to pay, but less than some of the corner lots fetched. The railroad man recorded his name in a ledger and tore off a paper receipt with the lot number and the date and handed it across without ceremony. He stood on his new lot that afternoon in the middle of a desert that was becoming a town whether it wanted to or not. The ground was alkaline and pale, scattered with sagebrush that had already been partially cleared. To the north, the German, whose name he later learned was Otto Kellerman, stood on his corner lot with his arms folded, looking at the street layout as if he were reading a map. Samuel tried to imagine what would be here in 10 years. A building, certainly. He would not hold the lot vacant. That was not the business. A hotel, perhaps? Or a dry goods establishment, or a bank, or something he could not yet picture, because it did not exist yet. Reno was not a real place in any sense he understood. It was a location the railroad had decided to make real, and so it would be. He wrote a short letter to his business partner in San Francisco that evening by lamplight in the single hotel room he had rented at a price that would have been outrageous anywhere except here, where supply and demand had not yet sorted themselves out. He described the lot, the price, the general condition of the town. He wrote, "The place has nothing yet and will have everything. Come if you can." Outside, he could hear the river. It was louder than he expected. He had not thought much about the river, had not factored it into his assessment, but lying in the dark listening to it, he thought it might matter more than anything else. The railroad was the reason this town existed, but the river was the reason anyone would stay. He was asleep before he finished the thought. Historical note. The first Reno Town lot auction took place May 9, 1868, organized by the Central Pacific Railroad. The town sold out almost immediately, with lots fetching prices that surprised even experienced investors. Virginia Street became the city's central corridor within months.